This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
All right, let's do this. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day edition. The Jets and the Flames tonight at 6 o'clock, live from Bell MTS Place. The Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show starts at 5. The afternoon ride will kick everything off at 3 o'clock, live from City Place. You know, I like this triumvirate here. We got a couple of North Enders that have moved to the South End now. Sean Assor filling in for Drew Mandel, who's off this week.
Garden City represent.
Yeah, Garden City represent. But I like this. Dave, Sean, and myself, we really don't find ourselves together doing the show that often.
I believe this
I
is
like
what,
it.
This is what we call the good trio. Yeah, the A-Squad, right?
As I mentioned, Drew's off, but he'll be back next week. No Wednesday show, but we'll be back, of course, next Saturday at 9 o'clock. And before we preview tonight's big Jets-Flames game, huge win for the Flames last night, boys. They now take sole possession of first place in the Pacific Division, sole possession of first place in the Western Conference. Matthew Tkachuk, his first ever five-point night, just unbelievable. And we're going to be joined by Daniel Austin at 10 o'clock. He writes for the Calgary Herald and the Calgary Sun. He's filling in for a good friend of the show, Kristen Anderson, who we've had on many times over the years. Should go over the show a little bit. We've got Mike McIntyre coming up at 9:30 to preview tonight's game between the Jets and the Flames. We're also going to look back, as I mentioned, to Thursday night's game, the big win 4-3 over the Boston Bruins. We're going to be joined by Mike Kelly at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to Lou Korak, who covers the St. Louis Blues for NHL.com. And then at 11:30 today, we're going to be joined by Brad Schlossman, who covers college hockey, good friend of the show as well. UND right now battling for their playoff lives. University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks, of course, lost game one last night to the University of Denver by a score of 2-0. But Brad's going to join us because they had a crazy travel story. They were on their way to Colorado from Grand Forks, and then they were diverted to Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was snowing in New Mexico, and then they were on their way by bus to Colorado, and they actually couldn't get into where they were practicing, so they actually had to practice, UND that is, had to practice at an Air Force base, and obviously they eventually got into Denver and for game one last night, as I mentioned. Game two goes tonight, but they lost game one, so they're fighting for their playoff lives. Not really something you're expecting to see, because UND has been such a powerhouse. Just a couple of years ago, they won the national championship. But let's get back into the Jets and Thursday night, guys. Coming off of that really disappointing loss to the San Jose Sharks, Joe Pavelski scoring with, what was it, 3.4 seconds left, 3.5 seconds left.
I think 4.3 after they put some time back.
4.3, whatever it was, 3 or 4 seconds left. A really heartbreaking way to lose to one of the best teams in the Western Conference. But what about that rebound game on Thursday night from the Jets? The game is tied in the third period. The Jets don't have any shots in the first 10 or 11 minutes of the game. It wasn't until Jacob Trouba puts the Jets ahead with that big goal, roughly 12 minutes into the third period, that put the Jets ahead, and then Ehlers made it 4-2 for the Jets. But Dave, let's start with you. What did you think of that response? Because that loss to the San Jose Sharks was arguably one of the most disappointing losses of the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you have two teams coming in that had lost two games in a row. Both teams were wanting that win. Now, Boston obviously knows where they're going to be in terms of the standings. And they've been, but prior to those two games that they had lost, they had gone on a 19-game point streak. So they were one of the hottest teams in the NHL. They play just a pretty phenomenal game if you watch these guys, the talent they have. And to me, it was a game that Winnipeg absolutely needed to have. I mean, again, standings-wise, we know that the Jets are fighting with you know, for that first playoffs, for that first spot in the Central. But the fact of the matter is it was more for their psyche. It was more the fact that they needed to get those 2 points just to really feel good about themselves, to kind of give them a chance to close up the homestand on a positive note against Calgary tonight. So I like the way they came out. I thought they came out pretty well. And, you know, they really kind of took it to Boston a little bit. And then we saw that lull where I think I don't remember what it was exactly, but I think they were outshot at one point, like 18-5. I had the number at starting in that second period. So to me, Boston really started to take control, and obviously they tied the game on that Nordstrom goal. But I really like the bounce back. I like the fact that Scheifele seemed to, you know, start to feel a little bit, got it over to Trouba. Trouba made that nice play. And then obviously Nikolaj Ehlers, who, you know, and there was some talk about the fact that he got rewarded after getting, like, feeling like he was the GOAT, you know, on that on that goal against with the Sharks. So good for Nikolaj Ehlers to, you know, who you know, with one thing about Nikolaj Ehlers, and I'm sure lots of fans know this, but he always takes responsibility. He doesn't try and pass the buck onto other people and blame others for his mistakes. So if he takes him, if he makes mistakes, he owns it. And you know, he got rewarded with the game winning goal. So that was good for him.
Sticking with the A line boys, and you know, that's what Paul Maurice likes to call it, as long as he's not calling it something else, right? But when you're talking about Scheifele, Laine, and Wheeler, Sean, they weren't great against San Jose, right? I thought they were really. We talked about it on the Wednesday show. That line was really overshadowed by the top line of the Sharks, right? You're talking about Logan Couture, mm-hmm. Joe Pavelski, and Timo Meier. And that top line for the Jets picks up 8 points. And Patrick Laine, obviously, was the big story early in the period, early in the game, I should say, in the first period with those two assists. And, you know, everybody across the hockey world seems to be talking about Laine and how he's now turned into more of a playmaker than a goal scorer. But, you know, Laine's now got 12 points in his last 11 games. Scheifele picks up his 33rd goal, a new career high. But that line looked like it was just really finding its form and gearing up for another big showdown tonight against Calgary.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, you talked about maybe perhaps the struggles of that line versus the Sharks. And then what better way to respond than you come out first shift of the game for that line and you score a beautiful goal where Mark Scheifele distributes the puck to Blake Wheeler, blasts that, you know, that bomb that he possesses off the post. And then Wheeler just kind of Johnny on the spot taps her out of the air. Good way to feel good about that line moving forward into the game. And then just less than 10 minutes later, they score again on the power play. Mark Scheifele, after getting his stick launched to Mars, which we've seen some defiance of physics at Bell MTS Place as of late, Davey. First, it was the goal versus the Moose.
Yeah.
And then Mark Scheifele's stick loses all form of gravity. I mean, we're seeing some funky things going on at Bell MTS Place.
Not only did it lose, but the fact of the matter is he got it back, complained, reestablished position, and scored a goal with it. So, I mean, like, rather appropriate, rather humorous. But, I mean, yeah, I was sitting in the press box, and I sit on that side of the, I think it's considered the south side of the arena, and I was watching that, and I was like, did that really just happen? Like, it's one of those plays you kind of have to double take, and it was right in front of me, and I thought that stick could have cleared the safety net.
Upper deck.
Yeah, like it was unbelievable. I mean, Chara is a big man, obviously. We know what he's capable of doing, but like, yeah, it was wild. I don't recall ever seeing anything like that before.
And that sentiment was echoed, I mean, throughout the Twitterverse. You just saw hockey writers all over just kind of laughing and retweeting and quote retweeting this absolute missile of a stick flying into the netting. And then, yeah, that was about Scheifele complains, scores, complains again. You can see the ref kind of look at him like, buddy, you scored. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Move on.
Begone.
Chara is the ageless wonder. Like, how much longer is he going to play? It seems like he can play for another 3 or 4 years. Like, he's playing like he was playing back in 2011. It seems like we're watching a 34 or 35-year-old Chara. He doesn't look like a guy that's slowing down in his last year in the league.
He's also a very fun follow on Instagram if you don't follow him. And you look at his 10, he has this, like, 10-year challenge. You know, some people are there putting the pictures. He is in better shape now than he was a decade ago. Well, he's a freak.
Well, and he might not be their number one defenseman, because I think we'd all agree, especially with that shot that came from Charlie McAvoy, that McAvoy has turned
so
into
impressive.
Their number one defenseman.
He's so impressive.
He's only in his second year in the league, right? And Torrey Krug was not in the lineup. And for that matter, David Pastrnak and Marcus Johansson were not in the lineup for the Bruins. Matt Grizzlick. They have a bunch of injuries, guys. Mm-hmm. And I realize the Bruins have lost 3 games in a row now. But previous to that, we know that they had points in 19 straight games. They're a top team in the Eastern Conference. Oh, yeah, I realize it's going to be tough to get out of that first round because they're going to be playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. They know they're locked into either the number two or number three seed. But you look at that team, talking about Zdeno Chara, and I realize that Ken Weeb was talking about Patrice Bergeron on Weeb's World during the broadcast and how Bergeron should be getting more, I think, attention for his Hart Trophy-like season. And I look at Chara and I look at Bergeron, and I think you're talking about two future Hall of Famers. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. It's a Winnipeg Jets Santa Lucia Pizza game day. Jets and Flames puck drop 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time from Bell MTS Place. But Bergeron is obviously having a great year. He's a perennial Frank Selfie Trophy candidate. But I think, am I wrong there? I mean, I think Chara has to be in consideration for the Hall of Fame. I realize it's still, you know, he's still playing right now, but the career he's had, you know, he's got the Stanley Cup, but it's not just that, it's the longevity. I mean, Chara has been in the league now for two decades. It's really incredible. And, you know, Patrice Bergeron, I think, you know, his accomplishments, his resume is a little bit more full than Zdeno Chara. But, I mean, that Bruins team, I realize, you know, again, you know, the Jets were the better team that night, but that game was tied late in the game. They could have easily won that game. And when you factor in those injuries, sure, all teams are dealing with injuries. The Jets don't have Morrissey or Buff right now, but the Bruins are really decimated right now, and they're still really competitive. And even though you didn't win that game against the Jets Thursday night, it doesn't matter as much because they know they're locked in. So they're a team that doesn't need those points as much. Sure, they want to win that game, right, Sean? But first place is not on the line for them.
Yeah, and just with regards to the game winner, again, going back to that quote-unquote second line for the Winnipeg Jets, no, not their finest performance versus San Jose, and much was made about that. So a strong pushback by that line to come in and have a much better game and then, you know, set up the game winner. And we had Nikolai Ehlers on the post-game walk-off interview, and he threw all the credit right away to Kyle Connor and Kevin Hayes on a tremendous forecheck. And we kind of saw Hayes first. Connor follows, bobble of the puck, lands right on Ehlers' stick, wastes no time. So you got to feel happy for that line to contribute the game winner as well, considering the way the one in San Jose ended.
And guys, I wanted to bring up Jacob Trouba because we talked about him earlier. He gets the go-ahead goal, the Jets' third goal on Thursday night. But, you know, 25 minutes and 5 seconds of ice time. He played 2.5 minutes on the power play, and I realize that he has received a lot of criticism for his play on the power play and how he's just simply not as good of a puck distributor, or he doesn't have as good of a shot as Buff or Morrissey, because Jacob Trouba, as we know, is not someone who's usually on the top power play, but because you don't have Dustin Byfuglien and Morrissey, he's been out there, but plays 1 minute and 7 seconds of shorthanded time. But so it wasn't just the goal or the ice time, but he had 3 shots on net. He had 3 blocks, and he had a takeaway. And I just thought that going up against that top line of the Boston Bruins, even though they don't have David Pastrnak, I just thought Trouba, for a guy that was on the ice for almost half the game, I thought he really stepped up his play. And he's had, I think, a really underrated stretch, because we know that Tyler Myers' minutes have gone up. We know a player like Dmitry Kulikov, his minutes have gone up, Ben Chiarot. But I think the way Jacob Trouba is playing, not just offensively, and he is having a good offensive year, but I just thought it needed to be brought up how solid he has been defensively for the Jets with two of their top three defensemen out. It's really been incredible to watch, because I think a lot of the time, you know, you don't hear about Trouba, and that's probably a good thing, because that means he's doing his job on the ice.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as because if you look at it, how often do you see a defenseman who's played 5 minutes more than the, or 4 minutes more than the next closest guy? I mean, that's not very often you see that sort of disparity, and usually there's a little more balance. And obviously, we're looking at the ice time from that game. Sami Niku was way down at 12 minutes and 44 seconds, but you know, yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, the fact is, and he's been asked about it during some of the practice availabilities, that, you know, in terms of stepping up his game and being relied upon now that the Jets don't have those guys. Ben Chiarot was asked about it, because he's also has been asked. And, you know, I think Mark Spector was the guy who was asking about that idea about guys having to step up their game and take on roles. You know, if you're a, you know, if you're a 6-7 guy becoming a 5-6 guy, or a, you know, 3-4 guy becoming a 1-2 guy. So there's a lot of opportunity. And you know, the truth is, and Coach Maurice said this pretty much since the beginning of the season and always says this, these guys all want to play more minutes. So when you have that opportunity, you have to, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, you have to take it, right? So I think he has taken it. I think obviously there's been some decision making. Like, fans don't like the way he plays on the point at the on the power play, and I can understand that. He's not the quickest of decision makers, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, again, this is an opportunity to give a guy a different look, I think, as you're, you know, adjusting, because the fact of the matter is, you don't know what's going to happen with Dustin Byfuglien. You don't know what's going to happen with Josh Morrissey. So it's not a bad idea. Now, maybe give a guy like, you know, Sami Niku a look on the power play, because he's so creative. I don't know, but we'll see if Coach Maurice is willing to go down that road.
Boys, Jacob Trouba's up to 6 goals and 39 points. He's smashed previous career highs. So again, I've been critical of Trouba, and you're right. I think Trouba does receive quite a bit of criticism, but he's having a great year. You got to give props where props are due. He has really elevated his game all year long, but especially without Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey in the lineup. We're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the state of Connor Hellebuyck's game. He's had some struggles as of late. He's let in some goals that he'd probably like to come back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk, Sean Assor. Quite the triumvirate. As we mentioned last segment, Drew Mandel is away from the show this week, but he will be back next Saturday. He's enjoying a nice family vacation down south.
What's vacation?
Just, you know, good times.
Mm. I don't know. I don't know about this thing you guys call vacation.
Yeah, you deserve a vacation. You've been at Bell MTS Place for, what, the last 6 nights in a row? Five nights?
Well, tonight makes six. It'll be 6 out of 6. It's crazy.
For hockey fans, this has been like the best week ever. You've basically had a Jets or a Moose game every single night this week.
Yeah, there's been 3 instances of this throughout the season where there's been like 12 or 13 straight nights. It's either a Jets or a Moose game, which is, it can be fun. It can be a little tiresome, obviously. But yeah, no, I mean, I love it. It's great to have coverage. And, you know, you go to a little site called LegalCurve.com and you're completely up to date as to what's going on at Bell MTS Place.
And just wait till next year when the Winnipeg Ice hit the ice.
Ooh.
We might have hockey every single day for 2 months.
Well, I can tell you right
it's
now.
It's going to be awesome.
I would officially be toast.
Get ready, Davey.
As I mentioned, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all of your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia. Online at zappiagroup.com. We got to give a very big shout out to North End Rick.
Huge shout out.
Big friend of the show, big friend of the station. He obviously knows the way to our hearts. He brings in 12 donuts.
Sugar and complex carbohydrates.
If you open that box up, what do we got in
there? Let's pop that box. Let's see what NER brought us.
A couple of crullers, Dave. We have some Bismarcks, a little double chocolate.
What's in the box?
Maybe an old fashioned or two.
It's even sealed, too, which is very nice of North End Rick. Hold on.
While Dave Minuk opens up that box of Tim Hortons, it's a beautiful medley of donuts. It's exactly what we need to fuel us this morning. Boys, I want to talk about the state of Connor Hellebuck's game right now, because I think we would all agree that the last couple of games have been a little bit rough for Hellebuck, and I don't think anybody is questioning whether Bucky is the Jets' number one goaltender, but you look at that game against the San Jose Sharks, lets in 5 goals on 36 shots. That's an .861 save percentage. I just want to go over Hellebuck's last 5 games, and then I want to talk about, guys, where his game is at and how many starts you think Hellebuck should get. With 11 games left in the season, and we don't know who's starting tonight.
No.
It's possible Lauren Brossoit starts tonight against the Calgary Flames, because we know Mike Smith is going to start for the Flames guys, right? Mm. Because David Riddick played last night versus the New York Rangers, the big win for the Flames. So it could be Lauren Brossoit tonight, but with 11 games left, I want to get your take on how many games he should be playing, because I do think Brossoit should get probably at least 3 or 4 of the next 11 games. So we mentioned the game against the San Jose Sharks Tuesday night, .861 save percentage. Last night, Hellebuck stopped 36 of 39 shots for a .923 save percentage. You go back to last Sunday against the Washington Capitals. That was that 2-1 win for the Caps. 2 goals on 17 shots, .882 save percentage. Then you go back to March 5th, that game against the Lightning, .889 save percentage. And then the game against Columbus on March 3rd, maybe Hellebuck's best game of the year. If you remember, there were 42 shots on Hellebuck that game. He only let in 1 goal. So his save percentage was .952, one of his better games of the year. So you're talking about the last 5 games, a .923, .861, .882, .889, and a .952. So the question I have for the both of you is, having watched this team all year long, and we're 70 games into the season now, 71 games into the season, in fact.
After tonight,
where do you think Hellebuck's game is? Are you worried at all? And how many starts should he get here with 11 games left? How many times would you like to see Lauren Brossoit here with just over a couple of weeks left in the season?
Well, I mean, Paul Maurice, and I feel like we've talked about this throughout the year, has a tendency to ride his goaltenders. And obviously, goaltenders are always going to want to play. I mean, that's just who they are as professional athletes. If they could play every game, they would say that they would play every game. So I think that's, you have to take that out as a factor, because that's just the reality. They're always going to say, I want to play every game. Me personally, and as you talked about this, you brought this up about the goaltenders who have won the Stanley Cup for their teams, not for the teams, but who have been the goaltenders of record, for the Stanley Cup runs that their teams went on. And on average, they finished with about I think it was like no more than 57 games played in
a
season.
Right around 54 to 58 games.
Right, right.
So you're talking about, you know, the 2 years that Pittsburgh won, mm-hmm. you're talking about Matt Murray. We actually went back to Chicago's last Stanley Cup win.
Right.
So that was 2015. So we looked at Corey Crawford, we looked at Pittsburgh with Matt Murray, mm-hmm. and then we looked at Braden Holtby. And if you looked at those goaltenders during the regular season, they were right around 53 to 59 games.
Right. And so right now, Connor Hellebuck's already at 53 games, as he touched on. He's already faced the most shots in the NHL. So the guy's already gotten a lot of wear and tear. And don't get me wrong, I get it. He's a younger guy. He's not old by any stretch of the imagination at 25. But the fact of the matter is, he's already faced a lot of rubber this season. His goal saved above average, which for those, I'll read this, what it is. It's basically, it's a stat that a lot of the advanced stats people who follow goaltenders will reference. And it says it's the goals this goalie prevented given his save percentage and shots faced versus the league average save percentage on the same number of shots. Okay, so last year, Connor Hellebuck was the fourth best in the NHL with a 23.75 goals saved above average. This year, he ranks 32nd in the NHL at 0.31. Now, it's obviously not a great number, but the fact of the matter is that you don't, you know, goalies don't win the games by themselves generally. And they don't lose them by them. Well, sometimes they can, but hockey's a collective team game. And obviously, without Dustin Byfuglien, without Josh Morrissey, you've got a different defense than what we're used to seeing traditionally in front of Connor Hellebuck. So that definitely plays a factor. But to me, my own personal view on this is you give him rest, especially with the way Lauren Brossoit has played. I mean, if you don't feel confident in your backup, his goal saved above average, for example, for the record, is 12.07, which places him ninth in the NHL. That's a pretty good number. It's a pretty good place to be. So you clearly have a goaltender in Lauren Brossoit who is capable. It's not even a function of Connor Hellebuck's always going to say stuff. Like, for example, after the game, he talks about, oh, I feel good about my game. That's just who Connor Hellebuck is. I mean, it drives some people crazy, but that's just, you know, for whatever reason, when he became an NHL goaltender, it's almost like there's a mentality that you have to appear infallible, right? Because that's what the expectation is. I think there's, so I kind of discount that. I just throw that out the window, to be honest with you. And I think me personally, if I'm the coaching staff, I want to give him a little bit of rest down the stretch, especially with the strength of competition. And obviously you want to do well and you want to be able to finish as high as you can to try and, you know, get home ice and that sort of idea. But to me, you want to give him, you know, there's how many games left? There's 13 games left? No.
No, there's 11.
11 games
11,
left.
Yeah.
So to
Isn't
me.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, I know. It's insane. So if there's 11 games left, I think you give Hellebuck probably 7 more starts. You give Brossoit 4.
Right. So Shawnee, do you if you're Paul Maurice, and again, game day skate, you know, is going to take place in about an hour from now.
Right now.
Or it is taking
place
right
now. Yeah,
because
remember, it's a 6 o'clock start. So.
Right, that's right. So game day skate is happening as we speak, so we're going to have an update for you. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day here on the station. When you're talking about next week, boys, after the game tonight against Calgary, they're going to have Sunday off, and then they play the LA Kings on Monday, next Monday, and then they've got that back-to-back on Wednesday and Thursday against Anaheim and Vegas. So it's just logical that Lauren Brossoit is going to get one of those starts against Anaheim or Vegas. If I had to put money on it, I'd probably say that he's probably going to start the game against Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're talking about, you know, Brossoit getting one of those starts on the road, and then you've got Nashville next weekend at home. So in these next 5 games, I don't think it's unrealistic to expect Brossoit to play 2 of those 5 games, right? Mm. So there always is the chance that Brossoit plays tonight. I don't necessarily know that if I'm leaning towards that. I think there is a chance, a very good chance, I should say, that Hellebuck starts tonight. But, you know, back to Hellebuck's game, Sean, when you're talking about, you know, some of his struggles as of late, you look at that game on Thursday night against Boston. Charlie McAvoy has an absolutely beautiful shot that made it 2-1 at the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a nice shot.
No, the shot was phenomenal.
Rolling puck, a lot of traffic
sure.
in front of the net.
And I think the goal, Shawnee, that a lot of people had problems with, was the Joachim Nordstrom goal, right? The goal that kind of just squeaks by Hellebuck. That was the goal that tied it up for Boston.
Yeah, but I mean, there's two. It's two Bruins forwards outmanning one Jet defenseman, while the other defenseman and the centerman are kind of near the hash mark. So he's kind of left out to hang there. So I don't know, to say that he'd want that one back.
So then let me ask you this question then. I mean, I'll give you Hellebuck's numbers this year versus last year. This year, Hellebuck has 29 wins, 3.01 goals against, a .909 save percentage. Last year, when he was a runner-up for the Vezina Trophy, 44 wins, 11 losses, 9 were overtime or shootout losses, 2.36 goals against, and a .924 save percentage. So, and by the way, he had 6 shutouts last year and none this year. And I realize that that's not the most important thing, but you're talking about a .909 save percentage this year versus .924 and a 3.01 goals against versus a 2.36. And I realize, guys, that goals are up a little bit this year compared to last year, but how comfortable are you with his game? Do you have any problems with it, or are we making something out of nothing?
We're making something out of nothing because he's averaging a little more goals against, and he's got a competent backup
and
now.
Goals so against is a team stat, right,
yeah,
Charlie?
So people see the increased play of a backup netminder, and they all of a sudden feel, well, if he can't go, this guy can go. And then, you know, the doubt starts to creep in. So, I don't know. I feel that it's a bit overblown. Yes, he's letting in a bit more goals, but, you know, maybe showing a little bit of frustration in practice, breaking the stick. But the penalty kill also isn't been as efficient. They're giving up far more shots than they were in previous seasons. I think it's fine.
I agree with you, Sean, in that I think it's been overblown a bit, but I'm not going to lie when I say that I'm not a little bit concerned here late in the season going into the playoffs, because I just don't see the same dominant goaltender that I saw last year. But I do think Hellebuck is an excellent goaltender, and I do think this Jets team is still a Stanley Cup contender, but I just wouldn't be telling the truth if I didn't say that I'm a little bit concerned with the way Hellebuck has played this last, let's say, you know, 5, 6, 7 games. We're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. You're listening to a Winnipeg Jets Santa Lucia Pizza game day on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290. Welcome back. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. Dave Benuk, Sean Assor, yours truly, Ezra Ginsberg. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. We're pleased to welcome in our very good friend. He is Mr. Dump from Dump and Chase, Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. Chase wasn't available, Mike. And, you know, I feel bad that I asked Jay Bell to come on the show in the first place, but he's obviously enjoying a little downtime this weekend at his cottage.
Jay Bell is always enjoying downtime. he's downtime 24/7. 365 days a week. I hope that's the last time you extend an invitation to Mr. Chase. I think we said we were going to call this Dumped by Chase, right?
That's the, yes, that's the yes. That every segment. Time you come on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, that's what the segment is going to be called, Dumped by Chase, in honor of Jason Bell, who big-timed us by not coming on the show.
You know, I heard you guys earlier off the top referring to yourselves as the A-team, which begs the question, which one of you is Mr. T?
Ooh.
B.A. Baraka.
I think Manuk would have to be Mr. T.
Really?
Oh, okay. I was going to say
Ezzy based on his haircut, yeah. I would go with, but okay.
Yeah, and the gold chains, right?
I do pity the fool, that's for sure.
Mike, we want to preview tonight's Jets and Flames game, obviously, but we want to go back to that game Thursday night. Obviously, coming off of that really disappointing loss to the San Jose Sharks, Pavelski scoring with 4 seconds left and just crushing the hearts of Jets fans everywhere. That game Thursday night against the Bruins, a game in which it looked like it was heading to overtime, and then Jacob Trouba scores around the 12-minute mark, and then that's followed by a goal by Nikolaj Ehlers. But how fitting was that end, considering that it was talked about so much leading up to the game, the giveaway by Ehlers with 5 seconds left in the game?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, a little bit of redemption for Connor Hellebuck as well, who I don't think was as sharp as he would have liked in that Sharks game. And I thought he played very well the other night, especially in the second period where the Jets were probably lucky to escape the second still tied, given the way Boston was coming on. Yeah, I mean, that's a big win for a lot of reasons. And I think more than anything, guys, it's just getting a little bit of confidence back. Imagine the doubt that would have crept into that room if they had, for the second time in 2 games and in 3 days, blown another a lead. Of course, they had the lead 2 different times against the Sharks and ultimately didn't get anything out of that game. And then, of course, to build that early 2-0 lead only to watch it disappear and, as you say, not get any shots early in the third period, it just seemed like here we go again. You know, this is going to be another frustrating loss for a Jets team that's had a few of them lately. So I think just for the mood around the team and some self-confidence, that was big. And certainly for Nikolaj Ehlers, who was certainly down on himself and and taking responsibility for what went wrong. I don't think he was the only culprit on that game winner. I think there was enough blame to go around. But, yeah, big for him, big for the team, and they can obviously now try and close things out with another solid effort tonight. This will be the ninth straight game, 9 of 9, where they're playing a team that, at the time of the game anyways, was in a playoff spot. And interesting, guys, this will be the third different division leader they've seen in the last 10 days. They played Tampa, of course. They played Washington. Now they're going to get Calgary. So the Jets have been taking on some of the best in the league. They're 4-4, and I think just for numbers' sake, they'd probably like to finish that stretch off with a tidy 5-4 record, you know, just be on the right side of 500 out of all this.
Now, Mike, if I asked you about Arthur Preston, Jets fans listening to the show would be scratching their head going, what is Dave talking about? But Jack Roslovic had some fun about a month and a half ago when he put on a disguise. What did you learn when you wrote about Arthur Preston?
Yeah, I'm actually here at Bell MPS right now watching the pregame skate, and I see Arthur Preston out on the ice right now. He'll be suiting up on the fourth line tonight, as he has been lately. He's missing the beard, though, and a bit of the girth that the fine folks, I believe it was from the Manitoba Theatre for Young People, suited Jack Roslovic up with a really little clever skit that they did, which was based on an NBA sort of skit that's been done where I believe it's Kevin Durant. I could be wrong, but I believe it's Durant who has sort of an alter ego and you know, pretends to be kind of a scrub basketball player. Well, Jack Roslovic pretended to be a hockey hack, if you will, down at the Forks. And it was quite humorous to watch the video. I mean, you wouldn't recognize him, of course. They did a great job of disguising him. And then he goes out and hits the ice and was mic'd up. And I think we saw a little bit of personality from Jack Roslovic. Maybe we haven't seen before. You know, there's some funny zingers in there. My favorite was when he starts asking a group of kids what they think of, well, he calls them the Winnipeg Planes, not the Jets. And he asks them what they think of that Roslovic fellow. And I guess good thing for Jack Roslovic, they both appeared to be fans, because it would have been really funny had they ripped Roslovic and said, you know, that guy's a bum, he should be with the Moose or something. They both said the right things. And I guess the big moment in the video was when, after pretending that he could barely skate and holding the stick backwards and, you know, putting one-timers into snowbanks, he all of a sudden turned on the Jets, no pun intended, and started dangling and toe-dragging around everybody on the ice. So, good moment. And, you know, I think it's interesting, guys, just being around this team and on the last road trip, there is a real good vibe among this group. And, you know, I despite maybe some recent bumps, I sense that they're a pretty loose group. And I'll tell you what, adding Matt Hendricks to that room, I know he hasn't played a single game, and I don't expect him to play unless, I guess, they run into injury. But I think he's been a big factor in helping to loosen things up. And it's interesting to hear Jack Roslovic yesterday say that it was while sitting with Matt Hendricks that last season, actually, that they came up with this idea. So the Hendricks effect, at least inside the room, certainly not on the ice, but inside the room, is in full effect.
You know, Mike, it was the funny thing about that video, I thought, was the fact that when you're trying to do this in Canada, probably best not to wear custom skates because Canadians are going to recognize really expensive hockey skates. The other thing I was going to tell you, it was Uncle Drew with Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving, right,
yeah.
Not Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Good catch there. And, yeah, you're right. Somebody did mention his skates because they saw them, and he was wearing, you know, he was wearing some pretty nice skates. And I love his line. He tried to cover and claim that his mom bought them for him at Play It Again Sports, which was kind of a clever cover. I don't know if they necessarily bought it.
That actually was my favorite part of the whole story, of the whole Lego feature, when you see the kids come up and they're like, yeah, those are custom skates. No, my mom bought them at the Play It Again.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant.
And then he claimed that he used to play Junior B.
Yeah, Junior B. I played a couple Junior B games and the kids are all laughing. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
And bar down, when he's like, oh, let's go bar down. And they rimmed around the bar and out.
Off
and
the bottom,
yeah, bar and out.
Tried to claim that was the same definition. Yeah. By the way, guys, I mentioned I'm at the skate. A little bit of news here today, nothing earth-shattering, but Joe Morrow is no longer wearing the no-contact yellow for the Jets. He's in the regular red with all the blue liners, so that's another step for Joe Morrow. I'd be stunned. I don't think he's playing tonight, because I'm sure they want to get another practice or two, but it would appear that Joe Morrow's eligibility, anyways, to return to the lineup is imminent. I'd be curious to see when he is deemed fully healthy, who would come out. I mean, would it be, I don't think it'd be Nathan Beaulieu. I mean, he's playing on the top pair right now. Would it be Sammy Niku, or would it be nobody? Would Joe Morrow essentially go from being injured to a healthy scratch? The other thing that I find interesting too, guys, is Paul Maurice about 10 days ago said that he expected Morrow and Byfuglien were on about the exact same track to return. Here's Joe Morrow out here in a regular jersey, and Dustin Byfuglien, as far as we know, isn't even skating these days, which, as I wrote about in today's Free Press, I think the biggest concern right now about the Jets, forget about what's going on the ice game to game, it's, is Dustin Byfuglien and or Josh Morrissey going to be ready in time for the playoffs? And if they're not, I mean, I think you can really ramp up the worry, because I think the Jets, they absolutely need for sure one of those guys back, and certainly both would be ideal.
We're joined by Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. He used to be Mike on Crime. Now he's Mike on Hockey. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Flames puck drop at 6 o'clock tonight.
Mike, I'm curious. You mentioned Nathan Beaulieu previously. I'm wondering what your thoughts on that pairing of him and Trouba have been thus far.
I mean, I think I would give them a passing grade for sure. And when you consider that Beaulieu went from being a perennial healthy scratch in a non-playoff team in Buffalo to on the top pairing in Winnipeg, I mean, I'll tell you what, guys, there's been times when I watch those two out there, and I agree with what you guys were saying earlier about Trouba, that I think in a lot of ways he stepped up his game. I also think, though, that there's a lot of risk to his game. We saw it even again the other night, right? Early in that third period, just an absolutely dreadful giveaway from behind his own net right into the slot early in the third period that, my goodness, if Boston converts on that, it might be an entirely different game. Interesting then it was Trouba several minutes later who then scores the go-ahead goal, which would have been the game winner if Boston didn't score in the final couple of minutes. So I wonder, with Trouba just logging so many minutes, if, you know, it's not opening them up maybe to making some high-risk decisions that you'd like to see not part of his game. But I think Nathan Beaulieu, I said actually to Jay Bell the other night that I found lately that I don't even really notice Beaulieu very much, and that's a good thing when you're talking about a defenseman, that he's just sort of quietly playing a pretty unspectacular but solid game. And, you know, considering the role he's playing on this team, I don't know that you could ask for much more from him. It would probably not be a good thing if he was standing out because of, you know, bad giveaways or being caught out of position. I think he's played it very safe and seems to have meshed well with Jacob Trouba, who, as I say, for all the good things Trouba has done, I think getting a little bit of that risk out of his game would be welcome. But again, I think we're just seeing the Josh Morrissey effect. I don't know that one guy necessarily carries the other in that pairing, but I do know that Josh Morrissey is a heck of a defenseman and certainly complements Jacob Trouba very well, and that's why they're such a good fit. And I'm sure, like the rest of the team, that Jacob Trouba is probably missing Josh Morrissey quite a bit right now.
Mike, just quickly, we know that Mike Smith is most likely going to start in net for the Calgary Flames. Do we know yet if it's going to be Lauren Brossoit or Connor Hellebuyck in net for the Jets tonight?
I'd say 99.9% is going to be Connor Hellebuyck. He's been on the end of the ice taking all the shots. And actually, as we speak, guys, he's making his way off the ice. Lauren Brossoit is still down with the rest of the group. So always a good indicator when who's the first off the ice and who's at the north end taking those shots, as Connor Hellebuyck was. So it would seem to be Hellebuyck. Interesting, just quickly, I saw last night with the Flames, they kind of like the Jets, they have a flu bug going around the team. And I think Sean Monahan last night actually left the game. Mm-hmm. I saw Bill Peters said after, it's because he wasn't feeling well. He's not apparently not even traveling or didn't travel with the team to Winnipeg. So he'll be out. And I think even Mike Smith yesterday was stricken and not feeling well. So you're right. I would think he'd play because David Rittich played last night. But I guess part of that might be based on how he's feeling today as the virus works through the Flames room.
So, Mike, are we maybe going to see Byron Spriggs as a backup goaltender for the Calgary Flames tonight?
Well, you wonder. I mean, they're in a fight, of course, with the Sharks for first place. So would they do that? Let's say Mike Smith is still too ill to play, and I don't know if that's the case. But if he is, would they go back to Rittich back-to-back? I mean, I don't know that he had that strenuous of a night last night. The Flames put up a ton of goals and probably made his life a little easier. So would they play him? And don't forget, this is a really tough back-to-back for Calgary. I think this is the league minimum of hours that's allowed between games. I believe under the CBA, it's 22. They didn't even start till 8 o'clock Winnipeg time last night. They're going to play at 6 o'clock tonight. You look at San Jose the other night, right? They played in Minnesota, but that was a 7 o'clock start and then a 7 o'clock start the next night. And Minnesota is probably an hour less of a flight than it is from Calgary. So, the Jets are obviously catching the Flames in fairly ideal circumstances for the Jets. But, yeah, I'll be curious to see. Calgary's not going to have a morning skate today, obviously, with playing. So we probably won't even know their lineup decisions until maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours before game time, when I believe Bill Peters will be doing an availability down here at the rink.
You heard it here first from Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. It's going to be Connor Hellebuck in net for the Winnipeg Jets versus Mike Smith for the Calgary Flames. Mike, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you here tonight. We'll see you later tonight at the rink.
You bet. Enjoy, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. We're going to head to break. When we come back, there's a familiar face coming back to Winnipeg, the Manitoba Moose specifically. It's Christian Vesalainen. We're going to talk about Vesalainen next and where he's going to fit into that Moose roster. There's a possibility that he plays tomorrow. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
Off to Appleton. Appleton backdoor. Vesalainen low. He scores!
That's Christian Vesalainen from earlier this year for the Manitoba Moose. Vesalainen has played for the Jets this year. He's played for the Moose this year. He's played for Jokerit of the Continental Hockey League. And he's back. And he might play tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. The Manitoba Moose continue their six-game homestand against the San Diego Gulls. Of course, you can hear that game live on TSN Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ezra Ginsberg, Sean Assor, Dave Minuk. Again, got to give a huge shout-out to North End Rick. Big fan of the station, big fan of the show, a big friend of ours personally, even though I've never met him. I feel like I have met him, but he brought us in a 12-pack of donuts, and there's none left. They're all gone. I've already had eight myself, so I really enjoyed that
here.
Maple dip. I really enjoyed that Bismarck chocolate dip, the one with sprinkles on it. Amazing. You always are going to be in our good books when you bring Tim Hortons for us. So it's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN Radio 1290. Huss and Rick are going to kick everything off live from Boston Pizza City Place at 3 o'clock. And then Kevin Owen friends are going to be by at 5 o'clock for the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show. Puck drop is 6 o'clock. Three Saturdays in a row we're going to have 6 o'clock puck drop. Mm-hmm. And I like that, boys, because afterwards you can go have a couple of wobbly pops. It's not too late, right? If it's a 7 o'clock puck drop, I mean, now that I've got a daughter, I'm usually in bed by like 10 o'clock. So the 6 o'clock start, it still lets you get some good stuff into your system after the game, if you know what I mean. Guys, this segment we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, Christian Vesalainen, and it was announced earlier this week. It was Thursday that it was announced that Vesalainen was officially going to be reassigned to the Moose, and that was a really poorly kept secret. I mean, Pekka Ylönen was mentioning that earlier in the week. He tweeted out that he thought Vesalainen, now that the Jokerit season was going to be over, or not going to be over, now that the Jokerit season was over, he thought that Vesalainen was going to be coming back to the Manitoba Moose. Dave, I'm going to throw this one to you because, as I mentioned, I don't think we know yet. I mean, you were at the Moose game last night and you talked to Pascal Vincent after the game. I don't know if we officially know if Vesalainen's going to be back in the lineup tomorrow at home against the San Diego Gulls, but if he does play, do you expect him to go right into one of those top two lines? And speaking of the Moose, we know that they're 3 points behind the Texas Stars. A really tough loss. They got the point yesterday, but they were obviously hoping to get the clean 2 points so they could tie the Texas Stars. But going back to what I said, because now I've thrown in a few questions, but how do you expect Vesalainen to be eased back into the Moose lineup?
You know, it's a good question, Ez. I think they would have preferred, he was supposed to be in on Thursday. His plane got delayed, so he didn't get until Friday. And so as a result, he didn't get that skate in. I think the team would have liked to have had him get in the skate today or yesterday and as well as today and then play tomorrow for them against with them against San Diego. Coach Vincent wouldn't confirm yesterday, so I think he really is going to leave it up to the player. He said he's going to leave it up to Christian Vesalainen to decide if he's feeling good, if he's not too jet lagged after coming over from Europe, and whether he's feeling good and ready to play. I mean, obviously, it's a pivotal game for the Manitoba Moose. San Diego's a very good team. Return of Chase DeLeo, obviously the Jets' 2014, was it, fourth round pick. So
he's having a nice year for the
Goals. He's having really 17 goals, 27 assists. He's had his best season as a pro in year number four. But with respect to Christian Vesalainen, the one thing I really picked up from the organization was the fact that he wanted to come back. There seemed to be a narrative out there that, you know, he's got a bit of an attitude, or the fact that he chose that he didn't want to come back. And really, Coach Vincent confirmed it to me yesterday after the morning skate when I was interviewing him. He said specifically that, and I don't know if it was to dispel this, but he told me that Vesalainen was the one who requested to come back. Can I come back and play for the Moose? So it wasn't a function of him not wanting to play or choosing not, like saying, I don't want to play, I'm done with my season. He said, can I come back and play for the Manitoba Moose? So that's a good sign for him. And I think as to where he's going to go, it's a very good question. Coach talked about it a little bit, but I really think he wants to get him a skate today. Moose are skating at noon, so he'll skate with the guys. He'll see what happens. And then tomorrow, obviously no skate because it's a 2 o'clock start.
Dave, we've got less than a minute here, but you know, is this somewhat like a trade deadline acquisition on your own team, right? Because they have two big games coming up today. Pardon me. Let me see if I can get this right. They've got two big games coming up tomorrow against San Diego, and then they've got San Diego again Tuesday. Then they go on the road for their next six games. They've got Colorado back-to-back, Texas, and then four games on the road, and then they've got San Antonio, a team that they're trying to chase right now for that last playoff spot. But is that like getting a player from within at the trade deadline? And obviously Mason Appleton has given the Moose a huge boost as well.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, and there also apparently there was a report yesterday that Jonathan Kovacevic, who's a 2017 third rounder defenseman, was signed by the Jets. He's going to sign an ATO play and not necessarily play for the Moose. And that happens a lot now in March when these guys' college seasons end. They start to come down, filter down, and play for the team. But, you know, yesterday's game, Mason Appleton was insane. Marco Dano was really good. And Tucker Pullman was. Coach Vincent's quote after the game about Tucker Pullman was, he was playing like a player who was in the wrong league. He was outstanding. Best game I've seen him play. I thought so as well. I thought he was simply phenomenal. Vesalainen and Coach talked about the weapons he brings to the team. So you can see that these guys are excited about having a player of his caliber available to them. And I think, yeah, to your point, Ezzy, I think it is a big boost. I mean, he immediately makes that left side of the Manitoba Moose better, obviously. So I think, you know, everybody shifts down and it'll give these guys the opportunity to add some much needed firepower.
All right, guys, we've got to head to break because we've got Danny Austin coming up next. He covers the Calgary Flames for the Calgary Sun and the Calgary Herald. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
We're back. Second hour of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Flames tonight at 6 o'clock. We should mention that later in the show at 11:15 a.m., we're going to have our Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet. We'll call you bonus play. Last week, we had our first lucky contestant. This week, another lucky contestant is going to have a great chance to win some great prizes and possibly win $1,000. So stay tuned for that at 11:15 a.m. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. We're pleased to be joined by Daniel Austin, covers the Flames for the Calgary Sun and the Calgary Herald. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
It's completely my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
We got to start with last night's game against the New York Rangers. I caught a bit of that game. I didn't catch the whole thing because I had to put my daughter down to bed. But Matthew Tkachuk, 5 points, his first career 5-point game. And obviously the last name Tkachuk is infamous here in Winnipeg. Keith Tkachuk in 1995-96 put up 50 goals and 98 points. Now, I don't know if Matthew Tkachuk is going to put up those types of numbers, but he's going to be pretty close with 32 or is it 33 goals now. how amazing was it to watch how well Tkachuk was playing last night, putting up 5 points for the first time in his career?
Yeah, I mean, he's got 10 points in his last three games. He had four on Sunday against the Golden Knights. So he's really come alive. And he was very, very cold for a little while there. But he, over the last week, he was doing things well during his sort of 17-game stretch where he wasn't doing much. But something's changed. I can't put my finger on what it is. But, I mean, the pass that he had to Gaudreau for the first goal the Flames scored yesterday, went about 95 feet. It was a flip pass over basically the entire Rangers team for a breakaway, and it was a special pass, one of the ones that you're pretty happy to be in the arena for. So, yeah, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk right now, I mean, he's 21, he's got 32 goals. He's really looking like he's going to be something special, and the Flames are going to have to pay him in the offseason, I'll tell you that.
You know, Danny, the one thing I noticed about the Flames, they just don't seem to get a lot of respect around the league. I mean, this is a team now jockeying with San Jose for top spot in the Western Conference. You know, their goal differential is plus 51. Why do you think it is that Calgary is not seen as a significant Stanley Cup contender, at least out of Western Canada?
I mean, I think it comes down to they haven't done that much in the playoffs before. Let's be honest. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau has not been particularly effective when it comes to playing sort of those bigger, tougher teams in the playoffs late in the season. I do think that the top line is where most of the questions are right now. We know that they can go out and put up a lot of points against sort of lesser teams. The question is what they do, you know, when it really starts to matter. And look, I mean, it's pretty rare, Vegas obviously last year being the exception, that a team kind of comes in and on their first big run goes all the way, and I think that's part of it. But yeah, I just think that there's a bit of, you know, people in Calgary would hate me saying it, but a little bit of softness, or at least perceived softness, and this lack of experience right now. Because, yeah, you got to be battle-tested a little bit, and I'm not sure that you can really say the Flames have been. So, you know, that's the best explanation I can give.
Hey, Daniel, I'm curious, can you provide us maybe a little more clarification on what Sean Monahan is dealing with, forcing him to leave last night's game and then, you know, preventing him from traveling to Winnipeg for tonight?
Yeah, so he did. On Tuesday, the concussion spotters took him out of the game. So I think all of us assumed that's what, you know, last night's, you know, injury or illness or whatever was. But Bill Peters afterwards clarified, Mike Smith had sort of a flu, just a little stomach bug earlier in the week. Peters said that that's basically what Monahan was dealing with. He just got out on the ice and was not feeling well. So that's the official explanation. They do not want that bug, obviously, kind of spreading to other guys and having other guys miss time over the next, you know, week. So he's going to stay at home in Calgary. That's their explanation. You know, we have no choice but to kind of believe it. But apparently it is not the concussion. That's the big thing.
And just a quick follow-up. Who slots into that top-line center role now as a result?
I would guess that Elias Lindholm, believe me, I've thought about this a lot over the last 12 hours. I think Elias Lindholm probably starts at center. He's played there a little bit, moves over from the wing. And then they did call up a guy named Alan Klein, who was quite good earlier in the season, and I believe is the leading scorer down with the Stockton Heat in the AHL. I imagine he figures somewhere possibly even that first line, although they'd probably put Tkachuk up there with Lindholm and Gaudreau and figure outside on the second and third line, just shifting guys around.
We're joined by Danny Austin, Calgary Flames reporter for the Calgary Sun and the Calgary Herald. Danny's also the national MMA writer for Post Media, so maybe we'll get into GSP a little bit later in the interview, Danny. But getting back to the Flames, Garnett Hathaway scored a really nice goal. As I mentioned, I was watching that game live, assisted by Matthew Tkachuk, just a beautiful pass. But Hathaway is a fourth-line grinder that Jets fans are going to be familiar with from over the years, a guy that's more known for dropping his gloves. But that was his eighth goal of the season last year for Garnett Hathaway. He's playing on that fourth line, as I mentioned, with Derek Ryan and Andrew Mangiapane, a rookie forward for the Flames. Just how effective has that fourth line been for Bill Peters this year?
I mean, it for a couple weeks there, I think you can argue it was their most effective line. I mean, this team came out of the All-Star break, and Gaudreau, Monahan, Tkachuk, you know, the guys who out-of-towners are really going to associate with the Flames were not producing, and that fourth line was just, you know, you put them in for their minutes, and they've really kind of changed the tone of the game, and Hathaway was a big part of that. Derek Ryan has just been a complete you know, eye-opening surprise over the last month or so. And Andrew Mangiapane is not a guy I think most people expected to do big things. He's just a tiny little guy. But, yeah, they bring that energy. They bring that spark. They're kind of your quintessential fourth line in today's NHL. And it's been a huge boost for the Flames because it did take a while for their stars to get going. So they were sort of carried by that line, as well as the third line, which is sort of the Sam Bennett line. And that has Austin Czarnik. And, yeah, I mean, basically since James Neal went down, that line's been pretty good. So the third and fourth lines were really, really good for a couple weeks and then kind of tailed off, and that's when the Flames lost five in a row and gave up their first place in the Pacific Division. So now it's the big stars kind of leading the way. It's been a really weird month and a half.
Now, Danny, looking a little bit past this season, of course, the Heritage Classic coming up next October in Regina between the Jets and the Flames. Yesterday, there was a big press conference in Regina kind of announcing the dates and the date tickets go on sale. And what's the buzz like in Calgary? We know a lot of fans here in Winnipeg are excited. What's it like in Calgary right now? Are folks talking about this this upcoming game between the Jets and the Flames next October?
I don't know if sort of on the ground a ton of people are excited about it. I know, you know, ever since it's been sort of announced, it's a great idea. I think everyone's happy that, you know, fans of Saskatchewan get to meet. I kind of like that it establishes that rivalry between Winnipeg and Calgary, which, you know, isn't fully there just yet. But, you know, fighting for the Saskatchewan fans, I think, is great. So I think people are really, really thrilled. You know, those outdoor games are a lot of fun, and I'm glad that they're doing it in October. I mean, I know the weather's not always perfect in Saskatchewan, and I haven't covered football there quite a bit in October, but it sort of hopefully will get, you know, get rid of any possibility of something too bad. So I think people are happy with it. It's a great idea. It seems like a win-win-win for everyone involved, whether you're in Calgary, Regina, or Winnipeg, for sure.
You know, Daniel, on our Wednesday show, we welcomed on a guest who covers the Vegas Golden Knights, and he was saying the sentiment in Las Vegas, you know, both from the team and the media and the fans, is that they would love to see a playoff series between the Golden Knights and the Flames. Is that, I want to say, is that sentiment echoed in Calgary as well?
No, I think Calgary really, really wants to win the Pacific Division because avoiding Vegas or San Jose is just, well, I guess at this point it's Vegas, let's be honest. Avoiding Vegas, is seen as pretty crucial. Not necessarily because the Flames don't think that, or the Flames fans don't think that their team can beat Vegas, but more just because you're going to take a beating. That's going to be a tough, long series, and then you're probably going to be facing San Jose in the second round, which is no cakewalk either. So I think it's sort of viewed as you know, more important than just winning the division. I really do think that if they have a shot of going for a cup run, you just don't want to have, you know, a matchup with Vegas. Like, that's a scary team. They can really skate. They're big. They've got some size. That's pretty much the nightmare matchup, and I understand why people in Vegas would be thinking playing the Flames might be, you know, the most desirable result for them at this point.
We're joined by Danny Austin on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290. And Danny, we have to ask you about Bill Peters. You mentioned him earlier in one of your answers. You know, this Flames team we talked about, they're in first place right now with 95 points, 1 point up on the San Jose Sharks. And obviously, you know, that could go back and forth here in the next, 11, 12 games in the season. But how much credit does Bill Peters deserve for turning this Flames team around? This was wasn't a playoff team last year, and this team has been either first or second for the majority of the season in the Pacific.
I mean, you got to give Brad Treliving a little bit of the credit because, you know, flipping Dougie Hamilton for, you know, Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin certainly contributed a little bit too. That was a pretty major upgrade. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone, just being around the rink every day, I think Bill Peters is just such a well-respected guy, and you know, he's constantly just tinkering a little bit with the lines, but he keeps faith in the guys. He seems like a real player's coach, and they seem to love him. So I think he's been a real good fit in Calgary. And you know, he was hard on the media yesterday, but we all generally, I think, you know, respect him and enjoy talking to him. And I just think that he's been the right guy at the right time for a team that probably needed a little bit of a steady hand. Glenn Gulletson last year was a little bit, I don't know what the word to use is, but you never really knew where his head was at. So it's, it's definitely Bill Peters. People are quite pleased with the job he's doing, I'll tell you that.
Danny Austin covers the Calgary Stampeders, and he's the temporary Flames reporter. He's covering for Kristen Anderson, who, of course, is on maternity leave right now, a good friend of the show. You can read Danny's work in the Calgary Sun and the Calgary Herald. Danny, thanks so much for joining us this weekend.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on, man. This is fun.
All right. Take care. Let's head to break. When we come back, we talked about Bill Peters with Danny Austin. We're going to talk about the Jack Adams race. Is it wide open right now? I think Bill Peters deserves some credit. I think a lot of people right now are just giving it to Barry Trotz. Some people think John Cooper should win the Jack Adams Trophy. I think there's only one certainty right now. There are a lot of contenders for that Jack Adams Trophy. It's been a great year for many coaches. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ezra Ginsberg, Sean Assor, Dave Minuk. Drew Mandel is away from the program this week. We don't really care, though. He'll be back
already.
Next week. Shout out to Karen Mitchell, a.k.a. Hemi_26 on Twitter. She tweets at us, my current situation, coffee and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
With a heart emoji.
With a heart emoji. What a gorgeous morning. Coffee emoji. It's chilly and -11, but the sun is shining and no wind. So shout out to Karen. We're glad that she's listening. Also glad that everyone is listening out there. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets and Flames tonight at 6 o'clock. A huge Western Conference tilt, boys. You've got the top team in the Pacific versus the top team in the Central. It should be a great game later tonight. This segment, we're going to talk about the Jack Adams race. And we mentioned right before the last segment, right before the break of the last segment. You know, Barry Trotz, I think you guys would agree, is the front runner right now. We can all agree on that.
Do we have to agree on that?
The pride of Dauphin, Manitoba. He's got the New York Islanders in second place right now. They were in first place for a long time in that Metro Division. The Washington Capitals, though, thanks to a nice 8-2 run over their last 10 games, they have now usurped, like that word? They've usurped the Islanders.
Very Game of Thrones.
For first place. I've never seen GOT.
Oh, man. So good.
Yeah, GOT.
Got to get into that. You got to get into the GOT.
I really want to see it, though.
April 14th. Starts again.
I watch too much hockey. I don't have time to watch anything else.
You can make time.
Believe me, this is worth it. Trust me.
You watch it?
I read the books. I watched it. I lived it. I breathed it. It's amazing.
Did you read the books
too? Yeah, they're amazing. Nice. Best.
Yeah, it's something I want to get into.
Amazing.
Reading?
This is the off season, though. In the summer.
Boys, getting back to the Jack Adams
books,
race,
Jerry.
Because
books.
You know, I don't know how many Game of Thrones fans we have that listen to the
probably
show as well,
number.
But probably more than we think. But when you're talking about this Jack Adams race, guys, remember last year it was all about the Hart Trophy, right? Nathan MacKinnon, Taylor Hall, Andrei Kopitar, those were your three finalists, but Blake Wheeler was getting a lot of attention. Connor McDavid was getting a lot of attention. What about Nikita Kucherov last year? He was getting a lot of attention, but this year I think everybody agrees it's Kucherov's, right? I mean, is anybody going to disagree with that?
No.
Kucherov's getting the Hart. I mean, he might end up with 125 points by the time the season's over. What is he up to, 113 now?
115.
Unbelievable.
He had four in his last game.
Kucherov has more assists than 98% of the rest of the league.
Yeah, he's got 80 assists.
It's unbelievable. Scheifele has 85 points.
I know. It's great. It's actually unbelievable.
So Kucherov is going to win the Hart Trophy, but the Jack Adams race I think is fascinating because I agree. Barry Trotz, for me, is probably your winner just because he's taken that Islanders team without John Tavares and he's turned them into such a structured, difficult team to play against. They're just so much better defensively. But then you look at John Cooper and what he's done with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, he's got tons of talent with Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman and Braden Point, Tyler Johnson. The list goes on and on and on. But it's tough to stay in first place and keep winning game after game after game. You look at last night, boys. The Red Wings were up 4-0. Was it 4-0 or 4-1? It was 4-0 or 4-1.
3-0?
3-0, something like that. And then the Lightning charged back. So that was a game in which you thought, okay, I mean, they're going to lose one game. This is one of those upset games where the Red Wings are playing spoiler. But let's get back to the Jack Adams race because there are at least, I think, 8 coaches that have a chance here. We talked about Barry Trotz. We talked about John Cooper. What about Bruce Cassidy? Boston Bruins go 19 straight games with a point. And they're second place in that division. Obviously, nobody's catching the Lightning. But you look at Bill Peters, who we talked about last segment with Danny Austin. We're going to see him tonight behind the bench for the Jets versus Flames. Craig Berube has turned the Blues around. What about Rod Brind'Amour? If the Carolina Hurricanes get into the playoffs, is Rod Brind'Amour not a Jack Adams finalist? Claude Julien, Montreal Canadiens?
Here comes mine.
There were no expectations for the Montreal Canadiens this year. You look at, you know, the trades they made, Galchenyuk for Domi. You know, they lose Max Pacioretty. They don't lose him. They trade him to the Vegas Golden Knights. But Thomas Tatar has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. That Canadiens team right now is battling for their playoff lives. But Claude Julien has to be in the discussion. And the last but not least,
this is the one I like,
former Philadelphia Flyers power forward Rick Tocchet.
I mean,
look, if the Arizona Coyotes boys make the playoffs in the Western Conference,
as of right now they are,
is Tocchet not one of the finalists? I mean, you legitimately have eight guys here that could be finalists for the Jack Adams Trophy. I think we all agree that Barry Trotz and most likely John Cooper are going to be in there, and then maybe Bill Peters is your third favorite. But when you're talking about Bruce Cassidy, Rod Brind'Amour, Claude Julien, Rick Tocchet, there are a lot of coaches here that deserve consideration.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Ezzy. I think the fact of the matter is, though, that you have to discount guys. Like, John Cooper's, I think, an excellent coach, but he's got a phenomenal hockey team. So, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that just anybody can put out a team out there and get 112 points. Obviously, he's got to do some things right. But the fact of the matter is, I think what Rick Tocchet has managed to do with the amount of man games that Arizona has suffered this season, like, they have no business being in a playoff spot. I don't know. I can't remember the exact number they were out at the Christmas time or whether it was the Thanksgiving break, where they, you know, usually say that if a team is not above the line, that they're most likely not going to be able to make the playoffs. I mean, what Rick Tocchet has done, they're on an 8-2-0 run. They are 3 points up on the Minnesota Wild for that last wild card spot. And to me, what he's managed to do with a hodgepodge of guys and got call-ups from Tucson, I just think merits at least a top three finish. And I would think that he'll probably be the runner-up to Barry Trotz, because what Barry Trotz has done. And it's funny, because we talked to Steve Wino and I asked him about it. And I said, like, it's amazing to me that the New York Islanders, similar almost to the Calgary Flames in the West, don't get a lot of attention. Everybody pays attention to Pittsburgh. Everybody pays attention to Columbus because of all the moves they've made. Everybody pays attention to Washington, obviously, because of the defending Stanley Cup champions. But nobody really pays attention to the Islanders. And the Islanders, to Ezzy's point, were a first-place team up until Washington's recent run. So, and even then, they're only 2 points out of first and with a game in hand. So to me, Barry Trotz is probably your front-runner, but I have to think that Rick Tocchet, to me at least, merits at least second, if not first place in that voting.
Here's another question, and I want to get Shawnee Assor in here for this. Whether or not a team makes the playoffs, should that factor in here? Because I realize there's this unwritten rule that if a coach doesn't get his team into the playoffs, he's usually not a nominee for the Jack Adams Trophy. Like, let's say that the Coyotes miss the playoffs by 1 point. I mean, why can't Rick Tocchet still be a finalist for the Jack Adams Trophy? You know, I need to stick with the Coyotes here, guys, because you look at the Coyotes, they have no bona fide superstars. Clayton Keller leads the Coyotes with 45 points. You had Vinny Hinostroza the other night, who had a hat trick. He's having a nice year with 15 goals, 34 points. But you look at, you know, they've gotten Christian Dvorak back into the lineup. He missed the first, you know, 45, 50 games of the season. You have no Nick Schmaltz, who was acquired in the Dylan Strome trade. Dylan Strome's been absolutely tearing it up with Alex DeBrincat in Chicago. So should a coach still be able to be a finalist for the Jack Adams Trophy, even if his team just misses the playoffs?
I think he should be in consideration if you look at the circumstances, like, i.e., like you were talking about, if the Coyotes miss the playoffs by a single point, then yeah, I think Rick Tocchet should definitely be in consideration. However, if they, I believe making the playoffs only increases your odds of winning, because, I mean, Davey, you took the words right out of my mouth. You look at the man games lost by the Coyotes, and then you look at their roster, and, I mean, Brad Richardson is their leading goal scorer with 16 goals. I see a lot of minuses beside a lot of players. I mean, this is a team that isn't star-studded, to say the least, yet here they are battling in a playoff spot at 8-2 in their last 10. I mean, shout out to Darcy Kemper, who's playing unbelievable this year.
Well, the pride of Saskatchewan. I mean, he has been phenomenal.
I know.
And this has been a career backup, right, with the Minnesota Wild and then the LA Kings before he came over to Arizona. But Kemper has been just absolutely phenomenal, right? Because you mentioned Antti Raanta has been out for the majority of the season. I think he hasn't played since November, if I'm not mistaken. He's been out the majority of the year. And You know, Nick Schmaltz, we talked about him. I mean, these are significant injuries. When you're a team like the Coyotes, who aren't blessed with the offensive talent that teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning and Calgary Flames and Winnipeg Jets are, you have to score by committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Coyotes are doing. And even though they don't have any bona fide superstars, they don't have any stars. I think Clayton Keller is a star in the making. He's obviously only in his second year. He's a sophomore right now. But he was an amazing player for the United States National Development Program. And he's a really good player. Kind of reminds me of Patrick Kane. And that's why he got those comparisons, Dave, leading up to the 2017 draft. But pardon me, was it the 2016 draft? I forget if it was the 16 or 17 draft. But the point is, what Rick Tocchet has been able to do with that Coyotes team, and it's pretty phenomenal, guys, that the Coyotes have been outside of a playoff spot for the majority of the year, but teams like the Minnesota Wild and the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars have just let teams like the Coyotes stick around, right? And you look at last night, Stars lost, and the Avalanche lost. The Avalanche lost to the Anaheim Ducks, who are just beating everybody right now. And the Coyotes are in a spot right now, and sure, the Avalanche are still in it, and the Wild are still in it, but you look at the schedule, and the Coyotes have an easier schedule than the Minnesota Wild. So there is a really good chance that they get in. Obviously, they're going to face a really good team in the first round, either the San Jose Sharks or the Calgary Flames. So it's not going to be an easy first round matchup. But for a team that hasn't made the playoffs, guys, since 2012, it's just good to get in, right? So I absolutely think Rick Tocchet should be a nominee for the Jack Adams Trophy. He's a multiple-time Stanley Cup champion. He was a great assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And even if he isn't a finalist, it's just a great crop this year because Barry Trotz deserves so much credit. So if he ends up winning the Jack Adams Trophy, it's well-deserved. We're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mike Kelly from The Point Hockey. Also does a lot of work for TSN.ca and the NHL Network. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.